when you hear something. We just aren't that smart. And I tell the story of Romans 4:17, even God who gives life to the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. I listened to two teachings on that by Norval Hayes many years ago. And I listened to each tape 30 times. And at the time, most people thought I'd lost my grip because, you know, who listens to a tape 30 times? I said, no, it wasn't 30, it was 60. It was 30 and 30. And what happened, though, was as a result of doing that, my understanding of that scripture and my ability to function in it skyrocketed, which many times was a great blessing to myself, my family, and to other people as well. It takes time to get something into your spirit. It takes time. And so we have this little thing here that I came across. I can't remember who said it first, but sow a thought and you reap a habit. An act. Sow a thought, you reap an act. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit, you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. Words to understand. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7a, it says, "For as he thinks in his heart or mind, so is he." The thoughts that we keep in our minds, that flow through our minds, that stay in our minds, and that are repeated in our minds, that's who we are. That's who we are. And your character is the essence of who you are. Your entire being is being shaped every day by the thoughts that live or reside in your mind. Can't get away from them. The good news is, if we want to, we can change it. We can be transformed by the grace of God. And that's found in Romans 12, where it says, "Be transformed by renewing your mind." If you want to change, you've got to change the way you think. It's that simple. We must change the way we think. And so some of the questions we can ask ourselves are, am I the person that others believe me to be? Am I the person that others believe me to be? These are character questions that help me to not just define who I am, where I am, but help me to come to terms with, is this the person that I want to be? Am I the person I want to be? Am I the person? Am I a person of integrity? Someone who can be trusted? And so as I ask these questions of myself honestly, it provides me an opportunity to decide, do I want to keep these behaviors, these habits, these character traits? Do I want to add new ones? Do I want to change some of them? What is it that I want to do? Because good character, godly character, does not come easy or cheap or without great effort. It takes effort. But the wonderful thing, sometimes people ask me, is there a formula that I could use to get faith and really... And I always say no, but in fact, there's kind of a formula. It's in Joshua. So let's turn to the book of Joshua. This is as close to a formula as I think you're ever going to get. They're about to go into the promised land. Moses is dead. And you know, the interesting thing here, I wrote myself a little note here. Where is it? You know, This helped me to understand a little bit about how the promises of God work. So in Joshua chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I'm giving to them and the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. So God said, I'm giving you this land. I've given it to you. And I think if we could understand this, it would really help to understand how all the promises work. Because this is how they work. He gave them the land, but they had to go in and possess it. And there were adversaries that had to be overcome. When they went into the land, they had to fight. They had to fight. But so long as they were obedient to God and were living according to God's rules, word, He gave them victory. Every step. But when they didn't get victory. But the part that I want us to grasp is that even though God said, I'm giving it to you, they had to fight. So when He says that I'm the Lord that healeth thee, you have to fight. You have to press in for it. You have to press in for it. Hosea 14:4. God says, I will heal their backsliding. So when you're praying for your children or your spouse or someone, and you have that scripture, because you always got to have scripture. You've got to have scripture. But when you're praying it, that's your battle. That's your battle. Just because we quote something once, it does not mean it's automatically going to happen. There is a process that goes on. And in that process, faith begins in the heart. It begins in the heart. Slowly. And it grows slowly. And in fact, in Romans, I'm going to come right back here, but in Romans, it gives such a clear. Romans 10, verses 8 and so on. It says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, the word of faith. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you'll be so-so. That's how it works. It starts off, the word is in your mouth, then your heart. You are literally speaking the word into your heart. As you speak it and quote it and claim it, your words are being released into your heart. And then as you go on, it says you confess with your mouth the Lord. Oh, I just read that. Verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it starts out by us speaking the word, and as we speak it, we hear it. We speak it, we hear it. We speak it, we hear it. Every time we hear it, faith grows a little bit. Till we get to the place where now there is enough faith in the heart that it's not coming just out of your words anymore, it's coming out of the heart. So the process is reversed. And what happens is that out of your heart comes faith that is now spoken and released. But it's faith words. It's not just you're speaking the word. It's now, it has changed from just words being deposited into your heart to faith that is coming out of your heart, and now you're releasing it. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I mean by that? That's how it works. It's really that simple. But you've got to deposit it first. And so in Joshua chapter 1, He's about to go into the promised land and he's getting his marching orders from God. So when you're about to do that, you can understand that God is not saying, how's the weather? Hope you have a good time. Get lots of rest, you know, and then we'll... He's giving him things that are vital. This is life and death for you now, Joshua. So God says to him in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. That's the first thing you have to be if you're going to operate in faith. You have to be strong and of good courage. You have to be strong and of good courage. Then in verse 8, he says to him, the book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth. This is an interesting. He doesn't say shall not depart from your heart, shall not depart from your mind. Where is it not to depart from? Your mouth. What is that telling us? It means you got to speak it. You got to speak it. It shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, so that you may observe, so you can obey it, basically. So that you can obey it. Because if you will do that, he goes on to say, then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Now the word good success means to act wisely. You'll act wisely. You'll act wisely. The words that you and I speak, they are life and death, the Bible says. In Psalm 19, verse 14, it says, the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, may they be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord. So the question we ask ourselves is, do the words that I speak, are they pleasing and acceptable before God? Does God listen to the words I speak and say, I'm very pleased by that. I like that. Well, wouldn't that change the way we speak? Eh? It should change the way we speak. It's saying here, the word of God should not depart from my mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night so that you can obey it. So that you can obey it. So that you can obey it. If I want the habit of my mind to be in unity with God, I have got to know what God thinks. I've got to know what He thinks. And it has to become so instinctive in me, you know. Like in the army, when you are being trained to use your gun, you're trained to the point where you can do this asleep. You can do this blindfold. In fact, they do it blindfolded. That you don't have to think, how does this gun work? While bullets are whipping around your head. It becomes so a part of you that you know exactly what to do. And that's what the word has to be. And that's why we need to meditate in this word until we get it into our spirit. Into our spirit. Into our spirit. Into our spirit. Verse 15, it says, until the Lord has given your brethren rest. He's telling them, you are to go through and to follow me in this possessing the land until you have been given, your brethren has been given rest. What does that mean? The word rest is a word of victory. It is a word that means done. It's done. You know, when it talks about entering into God's rest, you are entering into a place of peace, a place of harmony, a place of rest because victory has been accomplished. That's the rest that he's talking about for these people. But I need to have my mind deeply influenced, in fact, controlled by the Word of God. If I do these things, the Bible says here, for then you will make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. And I said the word good success means act wisely. The word prosperous means prosperous. Who doesn't want that? If we will meditate in His Word daily and obey the things that we read, obey them. Obey the things that we read. His promise. See, God has made this promise. God made this promise. So if God has made the promise, you can take that to the bank. He's saying, if you'll do this, I will make you prosperous and you will act wisely. That's a promise from God. Now, how many of us would like to have that? Wouldn't we love to have that? Prosperity and wisdom? Boy, imagine the problems that we could avoid. We'd all want to have that. But to get to this place here, we need to make a conscious effort. We have to invest ourselves. We have to invest our time and our energy, our will. We have to invest our will. There's a movie I'd rather watch. Go ahead and watch the movie then. That's what gets into your spirit. The movie. Not the Word of God. This requires deliberate planning and deliberate intention. It takes courage. That's why he said to them, be of good courage to persist in shaping your character. Developing that habit. Saying, Lord, I desire to be that kind of person. I desire that. We all desire that. But most of us don't do anything past desire. We need to be more than just desire. We have to go about making the changes that are going to make that desire come to pass. If you want to lose weight, what do you have to do? Eat less. Give up all the good food. And exercise.
And change your mindset.
Change your mindset. And if you're truly desperate and all else has not worked, and you've done everything else possible under the sun, and it hasn't worked, you go to Bernstein. Where he will take your money in great abundance and punish you on a daily basis. But you will lose the weight. Life isn't worth living, but you will lose the weight. It takes work to make changes like that. It takes work. And as we make those changes, as we invest ourselves, something happens. Something happens. First of all, God takes notice when we invest ourselves in Him. Where is it? 1 Corinthians 8:3 says, if a person loves God, God knows who this person is. God knows. If you invest yourself in God, He knows. He knows. He knows. He knows. He knows. It takes a conscious effort, and we have to ask God, sift my heart, sift my thoughts, sift my mind. Sift it, Lord. Because, believe me, it's important that if we harbor dishonorable and degrading thoughts, if we fill our minds with evil or even just worldly thoughts, worldly programs, if that's the main food that's coming into our minds and our spirit, the things of the world, then that's what's going to shape us. That's what's going to determine the kind of character we have. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a person or man thinketh, so is he. Whatever I'm thinking about, that is what I am. If I fill myself with worldly thoughts, worldly attitudes, TV, Xbox games, then that's what my soul is soaking in. And you know what? That's what's going to come out of my soul. That's what's going to come out of my soul. We need to understand that It's wrong attitudes resulting from a thought life that is uncontrolled that produces sinful character. Unfortunately, nobody teaches us that. You know? Nobody, even in the seminary, they don't teach this stuff. They don't. They should, but they don't. When I am filling my mind with things that are not good for me, in fact, that are really bad for me, these things are still going to influence and shape my thinking. Even though I may not want them to, they're going to. They're going to. And they're going to cause me to become the kind of person that I don't want to be. I don't want to be like that. None of us want to be like that. But if that's what we put in, that's what comes out. It's really that simple. I will increasingly, when I say I mean any one of us, will increasingly reflect that which my soul and that which my mind feeds, whatever I meditate on an ongoing basis. Now, I'm not talking about an occasional thought. I'm talking about a daily habit. For example, if you do something that annoys me and I ponder on that and I think about it and I think, you know, that was really nasty or mean or whatever, and I initially, I'm annoyed, but if I will think about that and I think about it and I ponder on it, do you know what happens to it? It grows. It's like watering your plant, you know? I mean, you take a weed in your garden and you fertilize and you, I mean, that thing will grow by itself anyway, but if you will fertilize it and water it and care for it, make sure it gets lots of sunshine, what's going to happen to that weed? It's going to become super weed. And that's what happens in our thought life. It's true. It's the more we think about something, the stronger it becomes.
No, not only that, the more we meditate on something, the more the memory grows bigger than what it was.
Yeah. It does. But see, the same thing applies to the Word of God, though. You see, if I will meditate in the Word and soak in the Word and speak that Word and nurture that Word, then it becomes bigger inside of me. And it will change the way I think. Now, the Bible uses the term walk to refer to living out our relationship with God, the development of our character. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says we walk by faith. Walking by faith means essentially we're living out our lives, our relationship with God, by faith. And as we do that walk of faith in good relationship with God, in obedience to the things God is speaking to us, what happens then is our character is increasingly influenced by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God. And it causes us to develop and have a genuine faith walk that pleases God. But that takes effort to do that. It takes effort. That will not happen by itself. We have to really invest ourselves in it. I think it's Galatians 5:16. It says, if you will walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit. But that's another way of saying that if we will live our lives according to the spiritual principles of God's Word, and if we will fill our minds with the things of the Spirit, with the thoughts of God, then we will live in the Spirit, connected to God, rather than living in the thoughts of the world, of the flesh, of the TV, and all the other things around that would love to steal our faith. They would. And even many Christians, you know, you tell them that you're believing God for a real character change. You're believing God to do a miracle in your heart. You're believing God to heal your body or heal your mind. Most Christians, unless they're in a church that really believes God will do that, they poo-poo you. You know, they just... It's too threatening. It's threatening for them to hear that. Because if you succeed in this, then that puts a pressure on them. Why aren't they? Why aren't they doing it? Why isn't it happening for them? And so they... I'm sad to say, but for many Christians, they rejoice when you fail. They rejoice. And unfortunately, that has nasty consequences. The person who was the most critical of me when I was first believing God for a healing miracle in my body, and who rejoiced over my failure twice, that person today lives in constant pain, has a severe case of fibromyalgia, severe, and sometimes can't get out of bed for weeks. Weeks. Don't make fun of God's word or belittle someone who's trying to believe it. There are terrible consequences to that. And even though many people pray for this person, they don't get much relief. Because, strangely enough, they never come to the place of understanding, my tongue put me here, and I need to repent of what I've done, which would then open a whole new avenue of healing. You know, but we are hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. The Bible talks about that, how today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as they did in the time of the rebellion. The Gospels, Jesus did miracles in front of the disciples, and the Bible says they didn't get it. They didn't understand the miracle because their hearts were hardened. It's very easy for our hearts to be hardened. Very easy. We can just dismiss something. That's hardening our heart. Yes. A little louder? And a hardened heart does not mean someone who stands up and says that, you know, God is a liar and I don't believe this, blah, blah. A hardened heart is just simply something can be where we ignore it. Because I just don't want to hear that. I've never experienced it, so... Or it just seems too fantastic for me, or... You understand that it's so easy to harden the heart. The hardened heart is just something that doesn't fully... Actually, this is a good explanation. A hardened heart is a heart that does not fully embrace the truth of the Word of God and all its possibilities. See how easy we can just kind of back away from it and say, boy, that just seems too fantastic for me. So this walk refers to our behavior, our character, our development, that literally influences and to a large degree determines the kind of person we're going to be. The kind of person that we are going to be. And I have lots more, but how are we doing here? More, or shall I call it a day? John, what do you think? Be honest now. Okay. Because, I mean, there's lots here, and I could, you know, I've got another 9 pages here, so. But, I mean, after that, there's probably another 200, so we have lots of time. Okay, Lord, we thank you that the Word of God is a wonderful thing that you have given to us to help us. You gave it to us to help us. And that your fervent desire is that we would experience and enjoy the blessings that you've made for us. We're grateful to you, Lord. We're grateful. And I pray that you will help us, Holy Spirit. Help us to grasp and understand. But even before that, help us, Lord, to be determined and courageous, even as the Bible says here. Strong and courageous in pursuing God. We want to pursue you, Jesus. Help us, O God. Help us. Help us to pursue you, Jesus. And I'm just going to give you a scripture here, as it really isn't part of today's thing, but I came across it last night at prayer. It's the CEV. Which one is that there, Christine? The CEV? Contemporary English Version. Okay. It's not one I typically use, but it's quite interesting. Psalm 33, verse 6. It says, "The Lord made the heavens and everything in them by his words." Yeah. Everything by his words. He spoke it. He spoke it. He spoke it. And if that's what he did, we need to do it too. Amen? Amen. Bless you, and bless you.